Well, on this morning, we always take a moment to remember and consider the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we consider that, even though it's very brief this morning, the right response, what God looks for and what we desire to display before him, is thankfulness, thankfulness. The one thing that we must do is give thanks to God. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. He says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. I think when he uses the word inexpressible, he's telling us that when we see it, when we really grasp what God has done, when he gave us his Son, when we grasp it, we struggle for words to speak of it and to express it, and to kind of explain it fully enough to cover this truth that God gave us his Son. That's what we're thinking about this morning, that God gave us his Son. And it's striking, isn't it, that he gave us himself in that sense. He came himself. He didn't give us, he didn't send an angel to rescue us, but he gave us himself. He came himself, as John puts it there, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And so we are for a moment giving thanks that our God has been merciful to our sins, that he has been faithful to us in our need. And more than that, that he is mighty to save us. These are the things that we will give thanks for. But before we go any further, what I want to do this morning, very briefly, is remind you of the way in which the three Gospels, there are four Gospels, I know, the way in which the three Gospels speak to us of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm leaving Mark aside because Mark begins with the ministry of John the Baptist. But Matthew, Luke and John go back to the advent of Christ. Now, first of all then, what does Matthew say to us? And we've seen this already, so you've heard it. Matthew takes us straight to Abraham and David. He says to us that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and you can trace his ancestry back to Abraham and through David. And what he means then is that we understand that when we look at Christ, we are thinking of God's covenant promises to his people. And our Lord Jesus Christ was the one who would inherit those promises. The Bible in several places speaks about him as the heir. He is the heir of the promises. Hebrews tells us he is the heir of all things. And that means that the universe belongs to him. It means that, in one sense, God himself belongs to him. It means that the church belongs to him. Everything is for him and is his. And when we think about these things, we connect Christ to the promises, then we know that when God gave us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave us all things as well. Remember that we are joint heirs or co-heirs with Christ. That's why Paul can say that will he not freely give us all things since he's given us his Son? And in another of Paul's letters he says that he became poor to make many rich. So you can see that if you have Christ, and this is so important, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, and when I say have him, I mean if you've embraced him by faith, then you have a future. You have a future. God has taken care of our future in Christ. If you have him, if you have grasped him, believed him by faith, then you have everything too. You are rich. But if you have turned away from him, if you neglect Christ, then you are very poor indeed. You have nothing. This is the bottom line. With Christ, we have everything. Without him, we have nothing. So this is a word from Matthew. That's Matthew. Christ Jesus gives us a future. An everlasting future. A great future. And then secondly, we're going to turn to Luke. And what I want to point out to you this morning is that in Luke chapter 3, Luke traces our Lord's human ancestry. He says he was the son of Joseph, as was supposed, right? But he traces that human ancestry right back to Adam. To Adam. Matthew goes to Abraham, Luke goes to Adam. And so when we think about what did Adam give us? Well, I'll tell you what Adam gave us. Adam gave us sin and death. That's what we got from Adam. So when you go back to Adam, you go straight to the first man and the garden in Genesis 3, where he transgressed and the sentence of death was passed upon him and his posterity. That's why every day we find there's death in this world. From Adam, we got sin and death. But what Luke wants us to understand is this, that inheritance also came down to Christ. When Christ entered this world, he came because of sin and death. Adam, as it were, Adam's inheritance, if I can put it like this, fell on him. And because of that, I can say this to you, that the Lord Jesus came to blot out our past. He came to take away from us sin and death. He came to deal with that inheritance too. We got sin from Adam, and we got death through sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to take our sins upon himself and to die our death in our place. Let me just turn to it briefly. Paul, in one place, he says this. As it is written. No, I've got the wrong verse. I'm so sorry. Well, I will read it anyway. He says, as it is written, this is in 1 Corinthians 15, the first man, Adam, became a living being. That's what it says. He says, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And what Paul is doing there is, I won't read much more from Corinthians, but he is comparing the first Adam with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he calls the last Adam. Okay? So, from Luke, when Luke traces Christ back to Adam, he wants us to understand that that Christ came because of what the first Adam did, but in dealing with that, he became the second Adam. The second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came. And what we realize when we look at the Bible on this, we realize that when God has mercy on us, he transfers us from the first Adam and sin and death to the second Adam and his righteousness and life. You see, Christ came to begin a new creation. When God created these things at first, there was Adam, made from the dust, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But Adam the transgressor, Adam the sinner, and Adam the bringer of death. And so the Lord steps in to give us his Son, and with him a new creation. Paul says, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. And so let me say this to you. When you think of Luke 3, going back to Adam, you realize that Jesus takes away our past and again gives us a future. But then thirdly and lastly this morning, for your reflection, we will turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now when John wants to tell us about Christ, he doesn't go back to Abraham. He doesn't go back to Adam. He goes back further. He goes back into eternity. When he says, In the beginning was the Word. He says, I want to take you back before the foundation of the world, before the creation. Well, what was there before all these things were brought into existence? There was our God, our triune God. John is saying to us, let me take you into the heart of God. And he takes us into the heart of the Trinity. And it's there, as he were. He says, I trace the coming of Christ to the Trinity and to eternity, that great eternal councils. What will you find, as it were, laid down in the will of God in eternity? Well, there he laid down that his Son would come in the flesh. When we read, and the Word became flesh, we're reading about something that happened which was determined before the world was made. The Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us. We find that decision, that decree, in the heart and mind of God before he made the world. And in the same moment of eternity, if I can put it like that, in the same moment, God gave to his Son his children. Here am I, says Jesus, and the children God has given me. So that before anything was made, God gave to his Son, not only, as it were, the mission to come in the flesh, but the brothers that he would come to save. Jesus says, here am I and the children God has given me. And by God's grace, we are among those children. God thought of us in eternity. And we know also that in that great moment of decree, so to speak, God also gave his Son a commandment. And that commandment was to come and die for those children. Okay? When the Lord Jesus Christ contemplated coming in the flesh, he knew that he came to die. He knew the names of the people for whom he was dying. He came to die to lay down his life for his sheep, for his brothers, for his children. But John says to us, understand, all that was determined in the counsels of God by his free will without any constraint. Why did he do it? Why did he do that? John tells us in another place. It was out of love. It was out of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Apostle John, in his Gospel, he wants us to go back to the counsels of eternity. You know, I don't know about you, but I always find this tremendously heartwarming. What an amazing thing it is to know that what we are doing this morning, and our lives, and our existence, and our families, and the history of this world, it was all, as it were, laid down by God, known to him. And we were in the mind of God. We were on the heart of Christ before he made the world. Think about it for a moment. When he said, let there be light, when he called the sun and moon and stars into existence, brought the animals out of the earth, created the plants, when he did all that, if you were Christ's, then you were in the heart and mind of God. And you've been in the heart and mind of Christ all the time, all the time. From the very first moment of history, and forever and ever and ever. Forever and ever. That's what it means when it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The source of it all is in the free and sovereign love of God. And it's that reason there should be two responses this morning. The first response is the response of receiving him. It says this in John, as many as received him. The first thing that we must do, the first thing with any gift you do, is you receive it. But what about this gift? God says, receive him. Receive this gift. Receive my Son. What does that mean to receive the Son of God? It means to believe in Him. It means to kneel before Him and say, as Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." We take Him because He's given to us. We take Him as our Lord, and we take Him as the only Saviour of sinners. Without Christ, we are lost. Without Him, we are lost. And when you take Him for life. You follow Him all the way. You will never separate from Him, and He will never let you go. And the next response, is what I began with this morning, the next response is to give thanks. How can we receive God the Son in the flesh? How can we see Him in the manger, in the lowliness? How can we see Him in the toil of His life? How can we see Him fixing His face steadfastly to Jerusalem? How can we see Him carrying that cross, being mocked, and so on? How can we see Him dying and not be thankful? He's given us Christ. He's given us everything. Let's be thankful in words. We're going to be thankful in words. We're going to express this now. Our thanks.